Well, all good plans don't always work out the way that we want, and so now you saw all the readings that we left out so that you can read them tomorrow. But my main aim today was to get through the important parts of the readings so that we could then get home and be prepared for our Seder by sundown. So let us look at the message today, which I'm bringing you. I can find it. And it's titled, Our Everlasting Deliverance. So we're going to read again exactly what we read just a second ago, about getting rid of the hummets out of our own lives. Because this is what Passover is all about. There's no temple in Jerusalem, so we can't offer offerings up to in the temple like they used to. There can't be sacrifices. And so we can offer up ourselves. And in 1 Corinthians, can we go there please, next slide, chapter 5 verses 7 and 8, it says, get rid of the old hummets so that you can be a new batch of dough. Because in reality, you are unleavened. For our Pesach lamb, the Messiah, has been sacrificed. So let us celebrate the Seder, not with the leftover hummets, the hummets of wickedness and evil, but with the matzah of purity and truth. Tonight we celebrate our Pesach Seder, and Pesach Seder is, Seder actually means order of service. Pesach or Passover is all about Yeshua's sacrifice and our deliverance. Consequently, the word of Yehovah cautions us to celebrate this reality with a genuine and a sincere heart of reverence and worship, taking in the full measure of grace and truth that the feast points to. Yehovah believes in refreshing our salvation experience, knowing that the world, the flesh and Hasatan war against the new creation within us and will wear us down unless we remember and practice the truth. Biblical feasts are our reminders, and this is the first feast of the biblical year. At this time, the entire Jewish world, as well as many Christians who recognize Yeshua in the biblical feasts, will be immersed once again in the celebration of Pesach. Tonight, some did it last night, hence you'll find for the remembrance service we've got both matzah and challah, because if you've already had your Passover Seder, you'll be having matzah today. If you don't have your Passover Seder till tonight, you'll be having challah today. And we'll be having matzah next Shabbat, but they'll be having challah next Shabbat because of that one day difference. The Hebrew calendar starts it on Friday. The biblical calendar, according to the sighted moon, we start it on Shabbat. So that's the difference, and we don't mind if you're different. So we try and cater for both. The most important thing is the commemorating of the Seder and getting the hummets out of our hearts. So on this special evening tonight, which we commemorate, millions of souls from the four corners of the earth will be engaged in elaborate ceremonies that include scriptures, readings, singing, dining, and teaching Yehovah's word, all focusing on the saga of Israel's great Exodus from Egypt, which we read in our scriptures today. So we have to remember the journey. Yehovah commanded Israel, saying in Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 1 and 3, observe the month of Aviv and keep Pesach to Yehovah your Elohim. For in the month of Aviv, which also means spring, Yehovah, your Elohim, brought you out of Egypt at night. You are to sacrifice the Pesach offering from flock and herd to Yehovah, your Elohim, in the place where Yehovah will choose to have his name live. You are not to eat any hamatz with it, and for 7 days you are to eat matzah, the bread of affliction. For you came out of the land of Egypt in haste. Thus you will remember the day you left the land of Egypt as long as you live. This was for eternity that we remember. The Passover feast is intended to inspire Yehovah's people to remember from where they came and who their deliverer is. Against the dark background of the oppression, hardships, futility, and desperation of slavery, Yehovah's work of deliverance shines brightly. It dispenses fresh hope and assurance from one generation to the next. Pesach tells us that Yehovah knows our fallen state, that he hears our cries, that he will come to deliver us. When things go from bad to worse and when all our hope is gone, Pesach points to Yeshua. It is Yeshua who is our Yeshua, or our Saviour, our beacon of hope, our anchor of faith. It is the testimony of his rescue mission, leading a people who are storm-tossed, helpless and lost to a safe harbour. Don't we all need a Passover reminder every so often? I think these past 2 years with lockdowns, masks, not being able to meet and see each other, as well as being locked out of our normal living situations such as workplaces, locked out of going to restaurants, theatres, museums, is showing us how evil the evil one controls our lives. We are in literal bondage at the moment to the evil one. But we have been delivered, and we have to look to Yeshua, and we will overcome. We are going to have tonight, and some had last night, a feast of freedom. Freedom for what? We go to Shemot Exodus. This is where we find the key passage. Let my people go so that they can worship me. That is what we have freedom to do. In Myanmar, they do not have freedom to worship Yehovah. They're being shot. They're being killed. Churches are being burned. In China, they cannot worship Yehovah. Even the underground churches and online churches have now been banned in China. But the whole Exodus is all meant so that we can worship Yehovah. We are blessed to live here in Australia. Yes, some people are suffering and suffering badly because of what they are going through, because of the mandates, etc. But we are free to worship Yah. Israel was set free from Egypt's oppression for the purpose of service and worship. Freedom in this respect is not an end unto itself. Rather, it is a means to a devout life of service and fruitfulness, so that we are holy as Yah is holy. How many of us today wish that we can come out of this oppression of what we are still locked out of, and yet not realise how well off we really are? I couldn't be with Malachi, my husband, when he was in emergency at the hospital. I have not been able to visit my mother in 12 months, and she's 102 years old. And I still can't visit her. I get emails from my sisters after their visits 4 times a week. But it's not the same. They send me photos and they're heartbreaking. I would love to see my mother. Love to see my mother. But I can't. I'm locked out. In fact, a careful study of the pre-Exodus events in Egypt reveals that the Passover miracle was offered to a people who barely ever wanted it. Yes, the children of Israel cried out to Yehovah for help in their affliction, But their concept of help was not what Yehovah had in mind. All they wanted was relief. Yehovah, on the other hand, wanted to accomplish deliverance for them. Many of Yehovah's children are in the same place today. We beg for him to help us in our circumstances, while at the same time we resist his deep work of deliverance in our hearts. The message of freedom used to be popular and politically correct in Western culture, but very seldom do the advocates of freedom ever lead those freshly freed into a life of substance and meaning. Often the newly acquired freedom, be it political, economical, or ideological, merely opens the door for the next trap, as we have seen with the pandemic and the WHO, the WEF, the United Nations, and all have more in store for us. If they have their way, we will never be free, we will own nothing, and we will be happy. That is their catch cry. I don't think so. Freedom for the sake of freedom is insufficient. Freedom is but a license to become. Rest is choice. Once freed from oppression, whatever a person or a nation may become is entirely subject to their choices. The nation that Australia has helped to become liberated, such as Afghanistan, Iraq, and East Timor in recent decades, are in the very balance today, as are the 187 nations in lockdown or prevented from normal daily activities because of a man-made virus or venom, which is the true meaning of virus. As it is obviously it is obvious to any honest observer, freedom alone, without taking on the yoke of Yehovah, is not the solution for anybody's problems. In fact, Yeshua warned us sternly that a freed soul is not filled with Yehovah's Ruach will eventually end up seven times worse than its original state. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 43 to 45, it says, "When an unclean spirit comes out of a person, it travels through dry country seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says to itself, 'I will return to the house I left.' When it arrives, it finds the house standing empty, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they come and live there, so that in the end the person is worse off than he was before. This is how it will be for this wicked generation." So what is true deliverance? As Israel was in Egypt at the time, likewise many are still in Egypt today. We wallow in oppression at the enemy's grip. We cry out for relief. Yehovah sends deliverance to break our yoke and our tendencies to become enslaved again. We fuss and complain because of fear of change and loss of the familiar. So what does Yehovah do? He turns up the heat to help us make up our minds. And finally, we are delivered in spite of ourselves. Some of you are in this quandary right now, negotiating with Yehovah how delivered you really want to be. Pray that when you are praying to Yah for relief, you will also be willing to accept his full deliverance, because this is what Pesach is about. True deliverance, as the Pesach teaches, does not come without conflict or drastic changes. Newly acquired liberty always calls for responsibility, faith, and accountability. In Israel's case, deliverance from slavery was necessitated an initial deterioration of their conditions and extreme changes in lifestyle, location, and priorities. It was not easy for them. Does this sound similar to our situation at the moment? The nation was evacuated overnight with its 400-year-old roots in the fertile land of Goshen, and was driven into an extended wilderness trek. Eventually, true wilderness will lead the liberated souls into a purposeful and intentional warfare in order to clear the promised land and take possession of Yehovah's promise, as was the case with Israel in Canaan. Applying these principles to our lives, we can better understand what Saul charged the disciples to celebrate the feast with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. He said so knowing that our instinctive carnal tendencies will always follow the path of least resistance, keeping us content with temporary relief rather than genuine deliverance and transformation. Transformation and deliverance go hand in hand. Is your Pesach experience one of lasting deliverance or merely a temporary relief? The Ruach HaKodesh is not another fix. Yeshua, the Lamb of Yehovah, is the only one that we can turn to for our true deliverance. The historic Pesach, though nearly 3,500 years old, is rich with relevance to those who live today in the reality of the Yeshua HaMashiach's work of redemption. 10 plagues, which brought down Egypt's gods or Elohims, speak of the spiritual warfare that is constantly raging in the heavens on our behalf. Pharaoh's calculated hardness of heart still serves Yehovah's purposes in magnifying the power of Yeshua while drawing his people to his exit strategies. The bitter herbs, the roasted meat, the blood of a perfect lamb, the unleavened bread, the terrible night when the angel of death passed over the Hebrew homes, the exodus on the following morning, carrying Egypt's treasures and the enemy's last ambush by Yam Suf, or the Sea of Reeds. All testify of Yehovah's great work of salvation in Yeshua HaMashiach. Ultimately, they all point to Yeshua, our great deliverer. So let's look at the beginning. Not only is the Passover a defining event in the children of Israel's identity, it is also the core of Yeshua's own calling and mission when he came to earth to save us. Of all his majestic names and titles, he was prophetically recognized and celebrated as the Lamb of Yehovah. When he first emerged from his hidden life in the Galil and stepped onto the center stage in Yehuda, immersing the Hebrew nation at the Yarden while preparing the way for Yeshua, Yochanan the immerser saw Yeshua coming down the riverbank and declared in Yochanan John chapter 1 verses 29 to 34. The next day Yochanan saw Yeshua coming towards him and said, "Look, Yehovah's Lamb, the one who is taking away the sin of the world. This is the man I was talking about when I said, 'After me is coming someone who has come to rank above me, because he existed before me.' I myself did not know who he was, but the reason I came immersing with water was so that he might be made known to Israel." Then Yochanan gave this testimony: "I saw the Ruach coming down from heaven like a dove and remaining on him. I myself did not know who he was, but the one who sent me to immerse in water said to me, 'The one on whom you see the Ruach descending and remaining, this is the one who immerses in the Ruach HaKodesh. And I have seen and borne witness that this is the Son of Yehovah.'" Led by the Ruach HaKodesh into his public ministry on earth, the Son of Yehovah revealed himself first as the Lamb of Yehovah, preparing for the great and ultimate Passover. Yeshua identified himself as the Lamb of Yehovah not only at his initial appearing at the Yarden, but also at the closing of his earthly mission in Jerusalem 3.5 years later. It was during the Pesach or Passover Seder meal, the upper room, that our Yeshua lifted the cup, broke the bread, and announced the Brit Hadashah, or the New Covenant, that was soon to be confirmed in his own person and at his own expense. In Luke 22, verses 15 to 16, it says, he said to them, I have really wanted so much to celebrate the Seder with you before I die. For I tell you, it is certain that I will not celebrate it again until it's given its full meaning in the kingdom of Elohim. Those slain before the foundation of the world, according to Revelation 13, verse 8, which says everyone living on earth will worship it, except those whose names are written in the book of life, belonging to the Lamb slaughtered before the world was founded. The Son of Yehovah had to step through the doorway of space and time to shed holy blood on our behalf at Jerusalem. His sacrificial death was determined from all eternity, but had to take place precisely on the Feast of Pesach, in order to fulfill the prophecy and the righteousness. It is the blood of Yehovah's own Pesach lamb that delivered us from the ultimate Egypt, our slavery to sin and the curse of death. But the lamb didn't stop there, because the lamb went into eternity. The Lamb has not disappeared following his death and his resurrection. He is in heaven, and his blood is still fresh upon the altar, which is made without hands. Caught up in the Ruach, Yochanan described what he saw, saying in Revelation 15, verse 13, And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth, under the earth and on the sea, yes, everything in them, saying, To the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb belong praise, honour, glory and power forever and ever. Even more, not only was the Lamb of Yehovah in the heart of heaven's worship at the time of that vision, but Yochanan further prophesied that he will be there forever, seeing the holy city in eternity. Yochanan testified in Revelation 21, verses 1 to 3. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had passed away, and the sea was no longer there. Also I saw the holy city, new in Jerusalem, coming down of heaven, dressed from Elohim, heaven from Elohim, prepared like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, See, Elohim's Shekinah is with mankind, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and he himself, Elohim with them, will be their Elohim. For all eternity, the Lamb of Yehovah lives to make intercession and is the King of Kings. For all eternity, his sacrificial work will continue to uphold and secure Yehovah's new creation. Pesach, the feast of sacrifice, deliverance, and freedom, is our everlasting celebration. And this is the reason to celebrate Yeshua our Saviour and worship him as Yehovah's perfect Lamb. He who brought Israel out of Egypt, sustaining her. Pesach is meant to help us remember, and our Seder is to teach our children to remember. To remember Yehovah, to remember his love, to remember his faithfulness, to remember Yeshua's sacrificial death at Golgotha, his power and intervention in your life yesterday, and remember to trust him for tomorrow. As it says in Messianic Jews, Hebrews, verse 13, chapter 13, verse 8, Yeshua HaMashiach is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can I hear an amen to that one?
Amen.
Thank you. Hag HaMatzah commences tomorrow, the very next day. So we have to make sacrifices in our own lives for the following week by not eating anything that contains chametz or leaven, as a reminder that we need to get the leaven or the sin out of our lives as whole, to be holy as Yehovah is holy. It is a 7-day period of reflection and looking at our own walk with Yeshua. I can't help but think of the Christian traditions of eating hot cross buns full of chametz and prawns, which are common on Good Friday and Easter activities here in Australia. People line up for hours to get their fresh prawns and their crabs and their oysters and their crayfish, lobsters, whatever they call them. No ham, not for Easter. That's Christmas. But they line up for hours to get their non-food. All of these, whether they're prawns or hot cross buns or whatever, they are non-foods. They don't fit in Yehovah's category of food for us to eat, let alone eat on Passover. The festivals of Passover, or Pesach and Hag HaMatzah, of course, prawns are perpetual no-go zones. While we make this a time of introspection and sacrifice, it is the complete opposite to where many of you have come from in your previous Easter traditions. I pray that Yehovah will give you the strength to refrain from your prior habits and be obedient to Yehovah's word. I pray this year, now being able to socialise with our extended families and even go to restaurants with family and friends, that it will be easier for you. May Yehovah continue to bless you as you continue in this festival. So I want to now go to the remembrance service, where today we eat challah, but tomorrow and until sundown next Shabbat we will eat matzah. If you have already had your Passover Seder last night, as some people did, there is matzah there for you today. Do I have any questions before we move on? Go to the mic, please.
What is the Vadi of Egypt?
Vadi? It's like the valley. It's like the valley of... It's like the Vadi or the riverbed. It's, you know, it's like the riverbed of Egypt, which is the Nile. No, the Nile.
Oh, the Nile River.
Yeah.
Near or in the Nile?
Yeah. A Vadi is more like an indentation. Where in Israel, they have a lot of dry rivers. And it's a riverbed. But there are a lot of dry riverbeds. And that's what they call the Vadi. It's the dry riverbed. But it can get filled with water at times. Any other questions? Well, let's move on.